Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves and questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
Off The Ball, GAA.
I feel we're in such a special place right now in Gaelic football. We're giving it a go. We're trying things out. There's an energy and everyone seems to love it, lad.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to OTB's Breakfast Bite.
Yeah! You know, Katie McCabe's interview last night that we talked about, and she curses, drops the F-bomb. It's like, the girl's fucking love, sorry. And it was like, well, that's the actual real passion. That's the real person coming out there, right there. And there is this strange conflict, I'd say, that a lot of those players are having, that they do genuinely, I believe, love playing for the country, but can't get an actual cohesive team going. It feels like the team and the narrative around it, like, and the mood relies so much on emotion and not enough like objectivity of how to play good football. You know, it's like a stirring. The game is growing. The popularity and the interest levels are as well. And let's take this over the line. But it's like, no, that's great and all. That's class. But like, can we figure out how to play a 4-3-3 here? Can we figure out how to actually get the best out of the players that we have? It feels like that side of it's lacking.
Yeah, I suppose the benefits of playing against the best teams and getting promoted from League B is that you know, it's that rising standards and the preparation for it. We clearly weren't ready for it the last time. And yet, at the same time, the win in Cork against that French team, that was a big occasion and it like helped to grow the team and it helped to grow the whole mood around them, but this type of stuff sets them back horrifically. So, like, I don't know if Carter Ward had this back to back again, and you're going to get beaten 4-0 in your second game. Does she do a totally different thing and play a low block and decide that actually, you know, the training sessions are going to be different from the matches? And in the training, they're doing the 4-3-3, but in the matches, they're doing what they've done for the last couple of years. I don't know.
Yeah, look, the time spent between has been tiny. And again, to go back to the Ten Hag example, like, the you know, he tried that new system in the first two games against Brighton and Brentford that time, and it spectacularly backfired. And then he changed, and it does feel like if you're going to do something like that, it is the time to do it early. You just have to live with the consequences, which is the morning after, and everyone talking about you in a very negative fashion. And the problem is, this is the end of this particular window, and that would probably be where the real frustration comes from. That's where the F-bombs derive on TV. It's like they gotta wait until the month after next to rectify this. Now, they'll forget it after a few days. They'll go back to the clubs and everything will be fine. But you're left with this feeling. As Irish football fans, we're left with the senior women's and men's team. It was like, we're always talking about this low ebb. It was like, this is up there with recent records.
Yeah, I think
the women's team got us out of that jam a lot of the time in the last couple of years, you know?
Yeah, I would like, there was a debate about the future of the soul of Irish football, and there needs to be certainly conversations had here about the direction of travel around the women's game.
Well, I'm telling you, like, Little John is one of the great talkers of the game, and like her sister, I no doubt will have a full-time career in media after, and she's done the podcast with her now. She's looking for a club, and she's even funny when she's saying that, like, sure, can someone give me a call, please? But what she said after that Welsh game in Dublin that night, it's very true. We got to learn how to play some football properly. And last night in the first half, you had a collection of players who, like, I was counting the amount of passes they could put together, discounting passing along the back. It's single digit. Slovenia just looked so threatening on the break, and their manager afterwards saying, we had a plan, there was no plan B, no alternative, we knew how to take on this Ireland side, we knew their weak points, and they exploited those spectacularly. And it's, yeah. League, and it's League B.
Yeah, and so obviously then when you step up again, you're going to be up against world class players.
Because the Eileen Gleeson tenure was interested in that. Like, that League B campaign went near flawlessly. Katie McCabe is playing the football of her life for her country, scoring spectacular goal after spectacular goal from distance. Then the step up proved too much, but no one really minded too much because of the quality of the opposition and the performance levels were decent. Then they got that France result against Arquequive that you talked about. The first leg in Wales, it's tantalisingly set up for the return leg. And even the half-time in Dublin in the second leg, it was still there for us. It's that second half onwards that the players look even a bit heartbroken and shell-shocked still. And Carla Ward did refer to that too, and we'll speak with Maeve de Burke about it, that there is still the remnants of heartbreak from what happened against Wales. Because it's a massive disadvantage of the growth of the game that we're not qualifying for a consecutive tournament.
It really sets the whole thing back, and all those players who retired would obviously have stuck around for the tournaments, and we'd be talking about, you know, it would have been a completely different team and it would have been a completely different management team. And I mean, as Gavin was just saying, there were some people were saying that had to be the end of Eileen Gleeson. That it would be wrong to say that some people weren't writing that in the press, but many other people were like, well, I mean, that's a learning curve. She needs to be given another campaign to put in to practice the lessons of what's happened and to bring that squad on. But she wasn't given that opportunity. Anyway, it's 10 minutes past 8 this morning.
Hello, it's Owen Shehan here from Off The Ball, and the FIFA World Cup 2026 is here. And let's be honest, the matchday version of ourselves can look a little committed. Jerseys, face paint, scarves in questionable weather, whatever you have, maybe even a full costume if your team makes a run, you can look a little worse for wear come the end of it all. But the World Cup, it's not just about the football. It's the atmosphere, it's the nights in the pub, it is the watch parties with your mates, and maybe even meeting someone new. That is where Lynx comes in. As an official personal care sponsor of the FIFA World Cup 2026, Lynx's premium fragrances are here to help you smell your best, even in the middle of full matchday madness. Lynx, smell your best when you look your worst. Now, enjoy your podcast.
We are delighted to say James Obanqua is with us again this morning. James, welcome back to the show. How are you, man?
Thank you very much. I'm all good, thanks. Yourselves?
Yeah, good. Last time we were talking to you, you were in Italy. Now you're back with Watford and it's gone really, really well for you so far.
Yeah, it's been very good. I've had a positive start to my long career here and yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Was it always on the radar that you would be going to Watford? Had that been talked about before it happened, or did it all come together pretty quickly in the end?
It all came together pretty quickly. In the end, like, I didn't know anything about it, like even joining Watford. But once I was told about it, it was something I wanted to do.
So, if you bring everybody back, the last time we were talking to you, as I say, you were certainly getting experience of what Serie A was like, and you weren't playing week in, week out. Was that part of the thinking here? It was like there's going to be an opportunity for you to get in the first team really quickly.
Yeah, I think that was mainly one of the main reasons I came here. I think when I was in Italy, I was kind of pushing on this season. I was getting some minutes, but I think to play week in, week out is much better, you know. And I think that's what the club wanted for me as well. They wanted me to gain experience, and Watford was willing to offer that to me. And yeah, that's why I've come.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, James. The 15th of January you signed for Watford. The 16th of January you turned 21. The 18th of January you make your Watford debut in a 2-0 win against Derby. And 28 seconds into that debut, you get a crunching yellow card tackle that most of the internet has seen. Yeah. Any inaccuracies there?
That's correct.
That is a whirlwind.
Oh, we're playing this video here now, if you can't see it, James. The tackle. Oh, look, I think that's a fine tackle.
I think it's totally fine. You get the ball.
I think the opposition player made most of that, you know. Definitely made the most of it. Look at her writhing in agony. Good
theatrical
actor.
Dive.
Good actor. Yeah. A fine tackle there, James. Where did that aggression come from? I thought in Italy it was kind of the anticipation was the highest form of defending and standing off a player, but this was like, welcome to English football, or should I say, here I am in the Championship.
I think I've always had it in me, but just never been able to kind of show that side. It just in that game, as I seen the ball coming, I just thought, listen, like, I'll try something here and try to get the crowd off their feet and... It worked, yeah.
What were your teammates' reaction to that 30 seconds in? Because, like, we've only got to know you, James. Is this the real you?
Yeah, nah, they were loving it, to be fair.
I was looking at the stats for this game. I was just trying to figure out where you were playing. Were you playing fullback that day on your debut?
No. I was playing right side centre back, but then out of possession, it looked like I was yeah. fullback.
Okay.
So it was like about three.
So when you joined Watford, Tom Cleverley was playing a back three. Am I right in saying now it's reverted more so to a back four and you're playing as part of a two?
Yeah.
Because Tom Cleverley's come out and said that it really suits you. How do you think it suits you compared to a three?
I think just in a four, like I'm more kind of like in the centre. Whereas like a three, I'm kind of more out wide, kind of out of position. But with me, like, I don't really mind, to be fair, whether it's a three or whether it's a four. I'll happily play in any position there.
What's the difference on the ball and out of possession in a three versus a four at the back? Are you thinking differently because of the formation, or are you just playing the game as it is in front of you?
I think I just play the game how it is. There's not much of a difference. I think just probably if you're playing the three, you're a bit more like further out, like you're playing kind of like a right back. Whereas like a four, you're kind of more in the centre. But for me, like I've played full back before, so like going out into them wide positions, like it doesn't faze me. I don't mind.